Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel, I believe it's going to bless you today. And I want you to see in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, Asa, verse 2, did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places, and he broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places, the incense altars from the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls. Notice what he said we're going to build. Walls and towers and gates and bars. And while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, that's the key. We seek the Lord and ask him what he wants us to do. We have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him. And he has given us rest on every side. Here's the key. Here's what I want to preach on this morning. So they built and prospered. I can't find a better title than that. So they built and prospered. Would you say it out loud with me, everybody, at every campus? So they built and prospered. This is a biblical theme, principle that is rock solid that you can build your life on. If you seek the Lord, put him first in your life, and he tells you to do things, and you are the church, that means your business matters. You are the church. The church is not the buildings. It's you. It's your business. It's your family. It's kingdom businesses. It's kingdom marriages. It's kingdom families. And if you seek him, and you do what he tells you to do, if you build it, you will prosper. If we build as a church what God tells us to build, we will prosper as a people, as families, and as a church. I love this story because there were 38 kings in the Old Testament, and only five of them out of 38 did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. 33 of them, nobody knows their names except for maybe King Ahab. That's because he's married to Jezebel. No, nobody else knows any of the loser kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord. But I guarantee you, if you've been around church long, you know the five that did do right in the eyes of the Lord. Men like Hezekiah and men like Asa specifically. Asa declared that there was one God in Israel. And he said, we're turning our heart and affection to him and we're destroying the idols. He declared that there was one God. There's one God. And he said, we're destroying the idols in the land. And then he said, God will give us peace. And we have peace not only in our city, but notice what he said. The surrounding cities began to be affected. There were surrounding cities, the scripture said, that as they built the church builds the city. And the city is filled with the blessing. If you build the church, if you build the church in a city, if you're a young preacher listening to me and God's called you to pastor and God's called you to preach, build the church. Go where God tells you to go and build the church. And when you build the church, God will build the city. God will bless the city. And the scripture said every city connected to that thing that Asa was doing began to be blessed. He said, we don't just need a good church here, but we're going to take it to other cities. And that's what happened to this ministry. We started here in Gainesville, and God said, build a great church. Build a church that will affect the strong man, the principalities and powers in the unseen world. Build it through fasting. Build it through prayer. Build it through giving. Build it through sacrifice. Build it, and you'll pay a price when you build the kingdom of God. You'll weep. You'll be broken. You'll be devastated. You'll be criticized. You'll be attacked. It's part of being a Christian now. Even just being a Christian, if you're a real Christian, you will suffer persecution for his name's sake. And when it happens, don't be surprised. But the cities will feel the impact of a true church that God has built. The entire city will know that they are there. The city will feel the influence of that church. We are not a bunch of defeated, quiet as a mouse, church mouses. We are called, we've been given dominion, the Bible said, and authority in the name of Jesus to declare. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. I was preaching this when we didn't have much, and I'm telling you that God has decreed that he needs mighty churches in America again to take authority and dominion and to stand up and build strong churches that build strong families and build strong cities and build strong nations. I don't believe that God is finished with us. Not only are we having revival in Gainesville, but God said, take it to other cities. And I didn't plan it, but God had another place called Gwinnett, and we took it to another city, and we took it to Braselton, and we took it to Spartanburg, and we took it to Midtown, and we took it to Cumming in Orange County, and now we're taking it to Alpharetta, and we took it to Whitworth Women's Correctional Institute and Hall County Correctional Institute and Hayes State Prison and Metro Reentry Prison. Why? Why don't you stop? Why? Because if we build, God prospers. And it's not just about money. He'll prosper the family that builds. He'll prosper the people that build. He'll prosper the businesses that build the kingdom of God. The answer to the brokenness of America is build the kingdom, raise the kingdom, build the church, build your life around the church. God says, I prosper people who build my kingdom. And as Asa went into those cities, he tore down the idols and he built up the kingdom of God. I believe that the strong man of this area, the demon spirit over Northeast Georgia, knows that we're here this morning. He knows that there is a church. I believe he felt the vibrations of the revival that we just came out of that went for 2 weeks. Hallelujah. I believe that he knows that there's a generation that is hungry for the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe the strong man over cities right now can be affected powerfully when the church stands up and says, we will build and God will prosper everything that we try to build for his glory and his name. We're not just here playing church. We're not just here playing games. We're not just here to be in a big building and put on a show. This is the church. This is what will prevail against the gates of hell. This is the church. We are called to go. We are called to build. We're called to rescue. We're called to build up broken marriages and build up broken families and build up addicts and build up people's low self-esteem that hate themselves. Build them up. And if you'll build them, I'll prosper you. We can't stop. The devil's mad. He gets to attacking families when you're part of a building church. He attacks. He does everything he can to discourage and to get you to throw in the towel and give up. but we bind the strong man. And the Bible said, Jesus said, when you bind the strong man, then you can spoil his house. And our children are in his house, and our loved ones are in his house. And sometimes there are families. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I have so much more for you behind the enemy's lines, but you got to be willing to keep moving forward. You've got to be willing to fight. And if you bind the strong man, you will spoil his goods. You'll take what he's got, and what he thinks he has, he does not have, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You got to believe this stuff. It's got to be more than songs. It's got to be more than sermons. It's got to get in your soul that says, I am here to make a difference and build the kingdom, and God will prosper me. Give him a praise if you believe it. Take dominion. Take authority. Take it over land. Take it over buildings. Build it. Build it. Build it. Build it. And I will bless it. Hallelujah. God will give you everything you need. And Asa proved it. He went on a parade of revival. And he went from city to city. And the Bible said he built entire cities because God was with him. And he sought the Lord. And I heard the Lord say this week that there were coming vineyards that you didn't plant. That you're going to get phone calls and buildings will be given to you. You're going to live in homes that you did not build. I will cause those houses in different states to call and say, we've got a church building and property. Come take it. Will you build a church? And if we will build, God will prosper us. That's what I'm preaching. We can't be laid back. Jesus is coming, and we need to build, and God will prosper us. Don't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what anything else goes. I know what the Antichrist is up to. I know what the spirit of the world. The world's getting worse and worse. Our job is to build and raise up the kingdom of God, and he will still prosper us. Clap your hands and say amen. I wrote these words down. This ain't normal. I know that's bad English, but it's the truth. This is not a normal church called Free Chapel. It's not normal because we still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We still believe in speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We still believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We still believe in anointing with oil and healing the sick in the name of Jesus. We still believe in the power. We still believe in revival. We still say we got a lot going on, but we wrecked everything for 2 weeks and said nothing else matters. We need his presence, and revival is still here, and revival will continue. Shout amen, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, this ain't normal. And if we'll build it more and take it from city to city, God will prosper us. This ain't normal. We don't want normal young people. We want young people who fill the altars and they stay for hours and they're lined all the way up on Halloween night. We couldn't get the people in this building, and the young people filled the stage and were dancing and praising their God. This is not normal, and God wants to do more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time for us to take the spoils of war. We're waiting on somebody to take it. God's waiting on somebody to take it. He says the spoils of war are your children, your friends, your family, your cities. And yes, the enemy, anytime revival breaks out, there will come retaliation. And the Bible said as they begin to prosper, as they built, God prospered them. And then the Ethiopians attacked them. The scripture said they had a 1,000,000-man army. And they attacked them. And what you need to understand is that the retaliation of the enemy will come when you build and God begins to prosper you. If you're weak kneed, you won't make it. If you can't stand in the tough times, you won't be able to handle what God wants to do in your life. But there comes those days where you just get up and do what God said to do.
and you say, I will not, I will not. I put my hand to the plow and I will not look back. And that's where I am in my life. So they built and they prospered. Your prosperity is not just connected to your giving. It is connected to the church building programs. And if we build, he did not say, if you shout. It does not say, and they shouted and prospered. It does not say, and they came to church and sat and heard a sermon and prospered. It does not say they attended church and prospered. It said, and they built, and God prospered them. And churches like this, the day they stop building is the day they stop prospering. As long as I have breath and I'm the pastor, we will build and we will prosper. Take dominion from the devil. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say amen, somebody. You got to get a bigger dream in your heart. That's why this church is blessed. We've never stopped building. And I'm not just talking about physical buildings. I'm talking about building broken lives. I'm talking about building marriages. It's hard work. It's laborsome. It's wearisome sometimes. It's heavy. The spiritual attacks. Sometimes I just sit back and scratch my head and say, this is not normal either. This warfare is unbelievable. But folks, the wages that we're fighting for, the prize that we're reaching for is the souls of men and women. So they built, say it with me, so they built and prospered. Well, this is what happens. When God's people begin to build, he prospers them. My prosperity comes from increasing the kingdom of God. That's the key. It's when you begin to increase and build in the kingdom of God. You've seen the videos. You've seen what we do. And there's so much more that we will do. When you start building, you start prospering. So many of you have the opportunity to build, and God will prosper. God will bless you. God will increase you as he sees you building the kingdom. So many things that God does when we start building. Notice what they built. They built walls. They built walls, and according to Isaiah, the walls are called the walls of salvation. They built walls of salvation, and they built them. They built a place where people could come and be saved, where people could come and be forgiven, where people could come and find salvation and be baptized in the water and find the newness of life. He said, you must be born again of spirit and of water. And so the walls of salvation, they built towers, and towers was used to put the watchman in the tower so he could see the enemy and so he could spy out the land and say, we ought to start a church over there, and we ought to start a church, we ought to go build that city, and we ought to build a church in that city. And a real church not only has walls of salvation where people are getting saved, but they're looking out with vision of reaching more of the harvest. And then they had gates. I love that. They had gates. They built gates, the Bible said. And the Bible said in Psalms, I believe it's 100 or maybe it's 150, he said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. And we're not just building walls of salvation, and we're not just building the vision in the church and the people. And you know, if you're in a good church, it will feed your vision. It will feed why you're here. It will cause you to understand the talents and the gifts that God has given you, and it'll fill you with vision for your life. And that's what a good church does, but it also has gates, and the gate is praise. And I just want to declare today that no matter what God trusts us with, Free Chapel has always been and will always be a praising church. We will always never be ashamed. And I just want to throw this out there. I'm sorry the Bulldogs lost last night. That's a terrible thing. But I hate that when they lose, you come in here looking like a poor old, my God, that ball game means nothing compared to who we serve. That it ought not to be a downer to come to church after our ball team lost a stupid ball game. Come on. Come on, I got something bigger than a bulldog. I got something bigger than an elephant. I've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves the highest praise. Can you praise him on a Sunday morning? Through the gates of praise, come in. I mean, all through the worship, some people, they're going through the worship. While they're going through the worship, that was a bad call in the third inning. I'm telling you, I cannot believe my dogs didn't win. Who cares about your God? Come on, I'm not against football. I love it too. I watched it too. But I promise you, it didn't affect my praise this morning. It doesn't affect my attitude this morning. We're a praising church. We'll always be dancing. We'll always be shouting. We'll always be throwing our hands up, sometimes with tears off of the hellish week we had. But up goes the hand. Come on, church. Get it. The gates hung on the church. That's who we are. That's what message people up when they walk in here, an atmosphere of praise. That's the number one thing, and at first they may not like it, but what happens is when people walk into this church, the first thing they encounter is the praise, and they're like, good God, what is this? And go on and make fun of it, but you'll be doing it. Well, I'm Baptist. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you are. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. And he said, let everything that hath breath praise ye. Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, nothing. Praise ye. If you're breathing, praise him. You can't catch your next breath if he doesn't give it to you. Praise him. Oh, let's take a praise break. It's more than noise. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we keep our joy. This is how we keep on going when all hell's breaking loose. You praise your way. You praise your way. Well, like Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But I'm going to keep on building. I'm going to build the gates of praise, the tower of vision, the walls of salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, sometimes that hallelujah costs you a lot. Sometimes you stayed awake all night over that hallelujah. But I'm going to give him my hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Oh, I'm not ashamed to praise him. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Oh, lift up your hands and go to praising him. You don't know what angels are doing right now. You don't know what battles are being won. You don't know what hand of the devil is being loosened from the grip that he's had on somebody you love when you praise him. When you praise him. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the Lord in this place. Praise will fight your battle. Praise will fight your battle. You don't have to fight it. God will fight your battle if you'll praise him. I feel victory in a praise. I feel joy in a praise. I feel rest in a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're building cities of refuge. Thy kingdom come on earth. And while we're building down here churches and rehabs and feeding centers and places where broken families and marriages can be healed. While we build here, he's building a city up there. And thy kingdom come Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you start building, you start prospering. The walls, the city of refuge. And when you obey the Lord, and they built and prospered. I guess what I'm preaching is we've got to keep building, folks. And we don't need, I'm not up here begging. It's not going to not happen if you don't do it. If you don't participate, that doesn't, please don't. In order to know the bigness of God, you got to know the smallness of yourself. And you're a little inflated in your own opinion when you think you can stop what God said he's going to do. He doesn't even need you. You get the privilege of participating. And whether you do or you don't, I promise you, he's going to do it because he put it. When he says it, it's going to happen. If he has to raise up somebody under a bridge and make them a billionaire, he's going to make it happen with or without you. But as for me and my house, we will build and we will prosper. Give him a praise if you believe it. I don't know what kind of opposition is coming in the world even. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I love the story of Nehemiah when he went back to build the temple. And he's up there building the walls. And the Bible said all that he had was a pile of rubble. That's the King James. A pile of rubble or trash and burnt stones. And he's trying to rebuild the wall. And what he's having to do is recycle all the trash to build the walls. And here comes my old boy, Sanballat. It's always a Sanballat who comes along. And Sanballat says, what do you think you're going to do with a pile of trash, nothing but rubble and burnt stones? Don't worry about the critics. Just build. And God will prosper. And he said, I'm doing a great work for the Lord, and I can't come down there and talk to you. I'm doing it for the Lord. I can't come and explain to you every little thing because you're going to criticize it anyhow. So I'm just going to stay up here and keep building. And if we build, we prosper. But there's always a Sanballat. But when you look around this building, you know what? The walls were made of trash. Turn to somebody and say, this is where you come in. Because when Sanballat looked at the trash, he saw trash. But God says in the church that I'm building, the walls will be made out of what the world calls trash. I'll turn it into treasure. You see trash in the attic. You see trash in the alcoholic. You see trash in the prostitute. You see trash in the broken family. But God sees treasure. And God says, I'll take what the world calls rubbish and trash, and that's what I'll build my beautiful walls of salvation out of trash lives, out of dirty lives, out of broken, messed up children who came up and they didn't even have a dad. I'll take that and I'll turn it into something beautiful and powerful, and it'll be called salvation. Give the Lord a shout of praise if you believe it. I'll take dysfunctional families. Your trash is God's treasure. Just keep bringing that little dysfunctional family. Just keep bringing them, all of them. The weird ones, the crazy ones, the bad ones, the ugly ones, the one everybody knows about. Bring them and sit them down in the house of God. And God says, I don't see trash, I see treasure. I'm gonna build a church, and it's not out of superheroes. It's out of people who have been broken, and the stones have been burned, and the rubbish has piled up. But I'll recycle evil, and I'll get glory out of it for my name's sake. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Thank you, Jesus. I'm done. But Nehemiah did one more thing that I want to emphasize in closing. He said, now that I've built and I'm strong, he could have made a decision because Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom was declining. He could have went back to Babylon and said, I'm going to tear down the world of Babylon. But he made a brilliant decision. Nehemiah said, no, I'm not going to go tear down the world. I know how to fix this thing, because we think our job is to tear down everything, the world, lost people, ungodly people, without Christ, without morals, without values. They're as lost as they can be. And we think we're supposed to go tear them down, tear it down, tear it down. But Nehemiah got it right. He said, no, no, I can build the kingdom up. And I do more damage to hell's kingdom by building the kingdom of God up than I do trying to tear down everything the world's doing, because their minds do not perceive spiritual things. So the key is not just fighting everything and everybody all the time, but it's building up the kingdom of God. It's getting the life bus and pulling up next to Planned Parenthood. And I met the driver this morning, very successful businessman, real estate, and he was weeping. And he said, I'm the driver now. And I said, what do you mean? He said, the Lord has called me to drive that bus, and I run security. And he said, I drive it, and my wife goes with me. And she said, we're saving babies one life at a time. One life at a time. One sonogram at a time. When they hear the heartbeat, something says, I want to hold on to it. We're not called to tear down the people. No woman who's had an abortion needs you to tear them down. We're called to raise up and build up the kingdom. No person who's an addict to destroyed their life and have their children taken from them. And they feel horrible. They hate themselves. They don't need you to tear them down. They need Christian-based programs, facilities. Build up the kingdom. Nobody going through marriage needs your little self-righteous attitude. Because you might still be married, but he probably don't like you. Nobody needs that when you're going through stuff in your family. What you need is somebody who cares enough to build the kingdom and prosper. Rebuild your life. Rebuild your faith. Rebuild your hope. Rebuild your marriage, rebuild your children, rebuild your family piece by piece. Burnt stones, trash. But they still believe in me. We're not called to tear down everything in the world. We're called to build up everything in the kingdom we can with the answer. Don't curse the darkness, turn on the light. And that is why Jesus did not come as a lawyer. He did not come as a doctor. He did not come as a religious theologian. He came as a carpenter. He came as a carpenter's son, and until the age of 30, he never preached a sermon or performed a miracle. He worked as a carpenter. He was a builder. He wasn't a deconstruction man. He was a builder. And that's what he's called you and me to do. And we're to do it until our last breath. And even then, our hands ought to be raised, saying, I give you Jesus. He is the answer for the world that is lost and dying. And he's in this place. And I want you at every campus, and I want you wherever you are, just lift your hands high right now and say, God, I'll build it and you'll prosper me. I'll do it. I'll be a part of it. And that's what these volunteers do. That's what these precious people would do tonight. You see this set back here? They build this stuff. They come in. It takes hours. They paint it. They build it. They build the kingdom. They build it. They build it. They build lives. You do it. You're doing it with the college. We're going to build the college. The Lord said, build the college. Build it. Build the campus. Build the dorms. Build it, and I'll prosper you. Build it. You've lost your mind, preacher. I thought you'd calm down. I can't calm down. I'm running out of time. You got time to play now. I got faith now. I know what God can do. I know who God is. I know he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he has no problem in meeting the need. If we build, he will prosper us. You believe that? And I want to tell somebody here who's running from God and who's backslid, who knows you're not living right. You're playing God games, and you know you're not. You got this big career in your mind. If you would seek first the kingdom of God, if you'd build the kingdom, God would prosper and build your future like you wouldn't believe. And you young people, you 40 and under, who are not giving and tithing and honoring the Lord, this is your wake-up call. Everything you dream of ever having is in the nail-scarred hand, and God watches what you do. And he says, if you don't build, I don't prosper. But if you build the kingdom first, then I will prosper you in ways that you never saw coming.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.